Appreciate you coming out to be with us, and I don't like to weary you. But I do like to try to tell about the Lord Jesus as much as I can, because I realize that without the Word of God, there is no life. There is no life. The man that goes without the Word of God doesn't have life. God is life. As I was telling somebody yesterday, and Brother Floyd and I was discussing some things, Brother Chuck, the man that isn't doing anything for God. Now, you may come to church, you may be in church, you know you're only doing what millions of people do that don't have a thing from God. It's just a social thing with them. It's just a habit with them. They love to come to church rather than go fishing or hunting or whatever. And it's just their way of life, like Jacob. Jacob didn't care about hunting and fishing, that kind of thing. Esau did, but Jacob had the things that he did. You know, he didn't hunt. Esau enjoyed hunting. And Jacob didn't, but he had things that he did enjoy. And many of you do things, you know, it's just like hunting or fishing. There's no difference in it. Somebody said, well, he goes fishing. Well, you go do something else. You know, maybe you go gossiping. Maybe you go backbiting. Maybe you'd been better off if you'd went hunting and fishing. Or maybe you go looking for money, or you just go lounging around, or maybe you just go from cafe to cafe eating, or fellowshipping, talking, and wasting the day around just visiting with relatives or whatever. You'd do something, if you don't know, to lounge around the house and find an excuse why you can't come to church on Sunday night. You'll come on Sunday morning maybe and say, well, I got to work Monday, and most likely you don't get to work till late if you get there at all. People that lounge around home to stay for work, you know, to save their time and their strength, I find out that they usually are lazy and don't do anything anyway. Same lazy spirit that keeps them out of church keeps them from going to work. But nevertheless, I do know that some of you are diligent. You do work. You do provide for your family. You do try to do right. Try to have a good name and pay your bills. And you're worthy of consideration and to be praised in things that are upright that help establish the kingdom of God in the earth. That's a real testimony. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, the Bible teaches. But I say again, the person that is not doing anything for God is dead. They're dead. They that live in pleasure, though they be very active. The Bible said they're twice dead and plucked up by the root. That is, they are already eternal, damned and doomed, and there's no hope for repentance to them. Oh, that is to say, they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. As to those that might be elect but still have a root. The Bible teaches Jesus Christ was the root and offspring of David. And had God not left us a root, as to the tree of life, as was to the tree of knowledge in Adam, whereas all die in Christ, all are made alive, we would be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah without that root. And people who do nothing for God, that's not active for God, they are not alive and living, though they be ever so active in the world and prominent in the world. And people who half do things for God are half alive. And people who just kind of dribble in and out, they get a little recipient of life, and that's about all there is to them. So then you're dead while you're living. Jesus said if you're not doing something for God, though you have a great name in the world, he said you're still dead, because God is the only form of life and you don't have God. And all you're doing is living out of lust and the things of the world, and you are dead, and it just hasn't been revealed to you yet that the skin worms are already working in you, and the things that you do, that is the result of the corruption that comes out of you, that emanates from you, because of the skin worms that are already working within you. See, a lot of times a person can be dying of cancer on the inside and not know anything about it for many months, sometimes years. And sometimes it can be terminal, and they not know about it until they go to a physician, and then when he begins to look at them, begins to scope the inside of them, then through his understanding, he says, you got cancer. Or listening to them tell about the pains or whatever, he'll say, you got cancer. And this is a 2-year thing as to being terminal, and you've already spent a year and 9 months. And then all of a sudden you realize that the skin worms have already been eating you up, as we say. So the devils and demons have already eaten some of you up. You're far gone. And you just don't know about it because you've never been under the real x-rays of God. It's to God to reveal it to you. And some of you, like Judas, Being among the saints of God, you're still, it's a terminal case, and you're doomed to hang yourself as Judas did, as we would say. The old saying, give a person enough rope, they'll hang themselves. So then, when you're not doing anything for God, you're just dead, folks. That's all there is to it. You're inactive, you're dead. When you neglect your post of duty, and that everybody has a post of duty, and that you're a member of the body of Christ, then you're dead. But people who hunger and thirst after the word of God, they're words of spirit and they're words of life, and they are much alive. They said to Jesus, we'll follow you. Many people left him, and the disciples alone being left, he said, will you also leave me? And they said, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of life, of eternal life. And Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my words are life. Life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that has sent me hath passed from death unto life. This is why I love the word, and I love to meditate in the word day and night. I just love to talk about it. I love to think about it. And you'll find out that if you're visiting with me, that it doesn't matter how much you change the conversation as to whatever you want to of your own intellectual reasoning, desire, ambition, thoughts, or possessions, or whatever. It won't be long before I'll be changing it back to the Word, because that's where my heart is. And the Bible said, wherever your treasures are, there your heart shall be also. And that's my heart. That's my treasure. My treasures are in heaven. So then I love the Word. I love to talk about the Word. I love to think about the Word. I love for the Word to revelate in my mind and heart. I'll just be sitting around and it'll start revelating. And it's just like a launching pad for a rocket. And I'll find myself way up into the heavenlies. Like Jim spoke of this television program as to the satellite, the third most powerful satellite in the sky, and reaches, you have to get up about 22,000 miles to get to it, and the program has to come down about another 22,000 miles to get to the TV. But anyway, this has to do with a child being caught up and seeing his star in the east, and in that it's a west star, it has to do with the church. In that we're the Western world, but this is in the eastern part of the United States, as it was with the wise men. They were in the east, traveling as it would be westward, but the thing is, they were in the eastern part of the world. So then we find that this going up has to do with Lucifer going out. We spoke of the lights going out, which really what I was saying, and never detailed some of those things to you a lot of times. The Lord will show them to me in detail, and I just speak to you. And many of you, a lot of times, are not able to comprehend what I'm saying because I didn't detail them. But it isn't that I don't want to detail them or the Spirit wouldn't detail them. It's just that I don't have the opportunity. You don't give me the opportunity to. And someone said, well, I come, Brother Pike. Sometimes I stay 2 hours. I know, but Moses came and stayed 80 days. Let's give the Lord a hand. God was able to detail a few things to him. So it takes, as it is in school, it takes a whole lifetime to get a diplomacy if you're going to college. So with our few minutes in church, you know, we try to establish a kingdom and run a kingdom and handle the thing, but can't do that. But as it is that those lights are cast out, I was simply saying that those are reflectors and was predestined to fall when the day star withdrew, as going into a nova, as scientists say that we'll do, and that, of course, will happen because it has to do with the saints of God and the church being the light of the world, and they will withdraw, going away. And everything that is reflector, religiously speaking, as to denominationalism, it will fall from heaven. In that right now, they are in heaven. The Baptists are in heaven. The Methodists are in heaven. The Pentecostals are in heaven. The Catholics are in heaven. All of these are in heaven right now. And they will fall. Even the world out here is in heaven right now. I know a lot of times they say, well, bless God, Brother Pike is out there preaching, them folks is in heaven. Well, the same thing with them, you know. So the blood on the seat of atonement, solemn's in heaven, in that the blood took away the sins of the world, and God gave them medical aid, he gave them blessing, he gave them food, he gave them all these kind of things, and after a while all of this will be gone, the blood will be off the seat of atonement, and then they'll find themselves in hell, or find themselves gnawing their tongues by reason of the intellectual darkness and the pain, because there'll be no healing medicines, no remedy. Then, as I say, they'll know the difference between heaven and hell. So, these stars must fall. people from the Baptist, people from the Methodist, people from the Catholic, people from the Pentecostal, people from Little Bethlehem, people from non-denominational, these people will fall from heaven. Already many of them are falling. The paper carries the article about these great TV evangelists and these great people. You know about these, but see, there's many hundreds and thousands of others that are falling that you don't know anything about it because they're not famous. Like I told an evangelist one time, I said, the Lord spoke to me and I said, he's going to lift you up. I said, he's going to magnify you. And this man was struggling in a tent and whatever. And I said, when he lifts you up, which as today he's a doctor of divinity, I said, he's going to lift you up and make you a great, mighty person in the eyes of the public. I said, and now I've got a word for you before you're lifted up. And he wanted to know what it was. I said, when you're little, your mistakes are small. And they're almost unnoticed, or that is, people don't notice them much. I said, but when you grow big and you're in the eyes of the public and you are a big figure, your mistakes are big and they're magnified and people see them. I said, now you remember this as you go through life with your ministers. Oh, God magnified him, lifted him up greatly. And when he was lifted up greatly, he'd done that which was wrong, and his mistakes were so great and mighty that they were seen all around. I said that to say this, see, as to the catching up of the man-child, which means not as to an individual. See, let's differentiate between the flesh and between Christ. It is said that you can't separate a man from his message, and I understand that no more than you can separate Jesus from the Christ. But the thing is, there was a momentary separation as to this, as it appeared, that the veil was rent in two, and the body was laid in the earth, and the Christ went up to God. See, and here as to a satellite, that means the message as to the spirit of the minister, which is Christ, goes up to the satellite, or goes up into these heavenlies, while the body remains in the earth, that Christ might be magnified as to the child that rules with the mind of God, the word of God, which is a rod of iron, commanding, and so it is. So, as he sent his word and healed him, as he created all things by his word, upholds everything by his word, so it is that the word is on the verge of being hurled around the world as to the unveiled word. That's the reason that it is connecting with Brother Branham, because Brother Branham's word was to be the veiled word. And I know I'd get a repercussion out of that, you know, and I know people would shoot at me, as it is said, even as of Joseph, they whet their tongues, you know, they shoot at the upright, and the archers have solely shot at Joseph, but he still excelled. And as to the stone that was rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The Bible said, and this is that is of God, the one that the builders rejected, and God has done this marvelous thing and is wonderful in our eyes. They've hit little Bethlehem, and they've hit the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they've hit the people. They've hit it with the news medias all over the nation. They've hit it from over the world. They've hit it, not over the nation, but over the world. They've hit it. Brothers, false brethren, as Paul said, corrupt, has found things and come in as peeping toms and slipped in to find things, to go out and scatter and say things that God might cut them down like a tree. And he is cutting them down. And even these men that we spoke of, that we warned, men that we spoke of, like Jim Baker and Jim Swaggart and Pat Robinson and Oral Roberts and Mr. Armstrong and the others that we spoke of, that how these ministers would fall and how they would come down and the time was at hand. They've all come down. They've all fallen. Many others that we spoke of, and even local people that we spoke of, they've fallen. And in this, these things have taken place. Now, like as today, I look, all of you are not of God. I look at you, and Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil. See, I've chosen you people, but here among us, even this morning, there sits one that has tried to kill us and is still looking for a way, wanting with all their heart as Judas to get this, because they know it is the right thing, but like a robber that would like to kill the messenger and take the message. That is, would love to have what you've got to rob you and kill you. Like somebody come to me the other day and spoke of two people, said, I had a dream, and said two men appeared and one of them was trying to kill you. So then they get bitter like quinine and they would love to kill us. But nevertheless, see, they'll come to their end. God's got an end for them and they'll go to their place. And they'll speak against us and say things against us, and God will cut them down like a tree. Because, see, the thing is not of a man, it is of God. Therefore, because it's of God, you cannot stop it. There's nothing that you can do. You can hinder it, but it's utterly impossible to stop it. Now, at this point, it's like feathers that's gotten into the wind. The pillar's been ripped open, and the feathers have gone out into the wind. I brought this little parabolic speech to you before. Mike mentioned it again this morning. I just got a few minutes to talk with you, but at any rate, it was said one time that a man went to a man to apologize for all of his backbiting, gossiping, and his things that he had done. Where the Bible says some people have a tongue, their mouth needs to be stopped. Going about, they subvert whole households. But anyway, when he got to this man received him real well, took him upstairs, took him over to a window, opened the window, and said, "Friend, let me show you something." He picked up a feather pillow, a pillow full of feathers, and he ripped the end of it out, and he shook it out the window, and the wind was blowing briskly, and the feathers were taken into the wind and began to sail everywhere, and even off to far distances, to what we know. And he said, "Do you see the feathers?" And the man said, "Of course." He said, "This is what you're trying to do." He said, "You have said things and went places and done things, and it's scattered everywhere. The damage is done." As to what of the Bible says, when Israel killed the prophets, said, "You stoned every wise man that ever sent you." And now the wrath, Paul said, the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. So then, hindering the kingdom of God, this man said, "If you can, I would like that you should go out and gather all the feathers and bring them back to me." Whereas the man said, "That's impossible, I can't do that." He said, "And so it is with you. They was willing to forgive, but the damage is done, and nothing that you can say will change that. And some of you have been the tool of Satan to do exactly that, to try to kill the testimony. They have attacked it from the police force. They've attacked it from the news media. They've attacked it from everywhere. And the Bible said, what is this? As to the prophet speaking, said, why is it that the people imagine vain things? And why are they gathered together? Is it not against my Christ? So then, why did they gathered together against us? As to the stone that was rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. As to say, not Brother Pye, but even those that were in their movement, and even among the Brother Branham followers, has to swallow down and realize that God accepted it and rejected them. I just got a report on one of the main ones of them over in Michigan, that people say things and things happen. They found him molesting a child. And he was one of the big followers among them with a big operation. Others, numbers of them, we have in the last few months and years. God has killed them. They're dead. They're gone. Things have happened to them. And more things are still happening because we're living in a day of judgment of quick things. Whereas before, years ago, it would take many months for something to come to pass as to a judgment when you did a misdemeanor before God. But now you say something, and maybe by tomorrow you always already feel the sting of that judgment. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And when you know to do good, you do it not. It's a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then we say as to the major theme of our thought here, as to the catching up, Lucifer is cast out. We see these stars falling from heaven. We talked to Brother JT about these things, and during the camp meeting, you might remember he referred to some of these things and called names as to the stars falling. But we're living in the hour when the stars are falling. The Bible said they that have fallen from grace are under the law. So that means that you can fall from grace. They that have come into this, having tasted of the heavenly gift, been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted of the power of God and the good word of God, of that which is from the world to come, then the Bible said if they should fall away, it is impossible to renew them again under repentance, seeing that they crucify Christ afresh, put him to an open shame. For once you're enlightened, it's impossible for you to repent again, to come to God, after that you trample the blood of Jesus under your feet, count it an unholy thing. For the Bible said they that of the Old Testament that died under just one or two witnesses, the earth opening up, swallowing them, and they were just caught out immediately like that. When Moses said, "Let the pit swallow them up quickly," he said, if they died like that, what's going to happen to you that counts the blood of Jesus an unworthy thing? How much more sore punishment shall ye be thought worthy that's trampled under feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? So then, with the satellite as to the going up, it has to do with the casting out of Lucifer. See, the casting out of Lucifer, and all these are falling. Whereas Daniel spoke of this, we spoke of it years ago. We have it on tape. And it said, in the last days some shall fall, even some of them that have knowledge, even those great ones. They shall fall to purge them, to make them white at the coming of the Lord. Said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And these great leaders, scholars, Bible scholars, they shall fall to purge them. Because everyone that falls are not going to fall to their death. They're not going to fall as to being lost. But they are going to fall because they have mixed too much of the world. Some, like the churches, they've taken even into the Pentecostal churches, volleyball and baseball and football and all these kind of things, of pool tables and social benefits and whatever. All these kind of societies they've got in the church. So they're going to fall. And many of them, the Bible speaks of, they'll be all right. Jesus speaks of it in the church ages, as we refer to it. If you'll go back and as he speaks to the churches, he'll say, and I have somewhat against you because you have lost your first love, unless you repent. Whereas the Bible said a good man will fall seven times and get back up, unless you repent. I will come and move your candlestick. And the Bible refers to the candlestick as saying that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. So then a lot of us got a lot of repenting to do. A lot of movements, church movements got a lot of repenting to do. They have a name that they live, but they're dead. Some twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Some saying that we are rich and have need of nothing, knowing not that they're blind and wretched. And the Lord said, I counsel of you to buy of me the raiment that's been tried in the fire. That is to say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to make no provisions for the flesh, for it is his body that was tried in the fire. It was he as our raiment that went through the blaze and come out on the other side. So then, having gained the whole world, the Bible said, what have you profit? What will you give to God in exchange for your soul to get it back in that you lost it in the time of those transitional changes of life? So we see with the satellite going up, or that is to say, the message being hurled around the world, which is already going around the world. It doesn't have to go on the satellite. Already going around the world, and different people are picking it up. Men everywhere, that where magazines printing, whether it's preaching under the tent or wherever, whether it's they have their own satellites or they that are in the ministry, they're picking it up. And we're finding out a proof of it. When we communicate with someone, we find out for sure. They openly acknowledge that that's what they've done, that they come in contact with it. So it's already doing that, and around the world it goes. We don't get to be in a lot of places like the boy that wrote from Korea. I wasn't down in Pakistan. I think maybe we went through Pakistan, but I wasn't there, but he received our message, I believe, in Pakistan. So around the world it goes. And Jesus lifting it up now, not as to put it around the world. He's already doing that. Going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Already got it in almost about every major language of the world, or perhaps in every major language of the world, and a lot of subsidiary languages. But that's not what it is. See, it is lifting it up to a headship. As we spoke about the international building that Pete's drawing for us down here. He's got a picture of it. It's beautiful. That we would like to build if it's the Lord's will. To draw it to a headship as to where there will be a spiritual control of a revealed word. That is to say, going up means the unveiled. As it was with Brother Branham that did not go up. It is as to the veil. And though Brother Branham, as Moses, was within the veil, as seeing these gracious, wonderful things, his audience never could get them. Like my sister said, she had a vision one time and saw Brother Branham going around lighting candles, and said there were seven candles, and she saw him light these candles. She perhaps remembers this, and got down to the sixth one and lit the sixth one, and said then he put the fire over to the seventh and said he tried and tried again, but said never could he get the seventh one lit. So then, as to the last church age, it's been just exactly that way. You know, the candle, it can go out and God will have to move it. Well, that is to say, at the midnight cry when they arose to light the lamp, they didn't have any oil. Well, that is to say, the Holy Ghost. There's hundreds and millions of believers. But I tell you again, you can be a believer and belong to Little Bethlehem or any other church you want to belong to. But there's one thing about it. Though you belong to the church, you still don't have any oil if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the midnight cry, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, you're not going to be translated, because it is by the Holy Ghost going into your spirit that you are, as the Bible said, inwardly as the angelic being, the inner man, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Which kingdom is within you? Which kingdom is the Spirit of Christ? If you do not have this Spirit, the Bible said you're none of His. Though you may be a believer, but if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. The rain on the unjust will make them to light up. That is, God create an atmosphere to where they can come in to the things of God, as into the church, be in the presence of this light, this illumination, as Saul was when he got in the presence of the prophet and prophesied to the extent they thought he was a prophet when he had murder in his heart, went out and murdered after he got out of the light. Judas did the same thing. Under the light, he was inspirational. The Bible said he obtained part of this ministry, filled with transgression. And just as soon as Jesus lifted the light from him, gave him a sop, and the devil entered into him, and he went out and done his evil thing. Many of you are in the presence of this light, and you're reflecting this light like a mirror does in the sunlight. You're reflecting this light. And as it is in the world, many of them are nothing but reflectors. And just as soon as the blood comes off the seat of atonement, those reflectors are going to fall, because the light won't hold those reflectors in orbit any longer. And the true light, as to the star, the day star, which is a light, you as a true light, having the Holy Ghost on the inside and radiating with this wonderful light that penetrated, as it was the face of Stephen's and Jesus, this light makes you to glow as to the glorification of that great light, most precious. And this light holds you into orbit on your own, just like the day star, even the sun, stays in orbit on its own. So then, in seeing these things, we realize that many people are going to fall. A good man will fall, but not as that which falls from heaven. He'll fall seven times, and he's staggering as to his fleshly efforts to make himself perfect in the Lord. But the Lord will pick him up, because on the inside he has the Holy Ghost, and God has already made him perfect forever in his spiritual man, and that spiritual man can never fall nor sin against God. The things that the flesh does cannot be charged against the inner angelic man, because the flesh is dead in the sight of God. It's not alive anymore. So we see the heavenly things taking place. We see ourselves walking in these heavenly things. And we see that this thing is taking place. Now, I didn't look for this in the Bible. I didn't try to find it. I don't mark my place. I didn't see it until just then as to where I'm supposed to read this morning. But it's reading from chapter 20, and it's reading over in the 17th verse. Beginning there, said, "And he beheld them and said, What is this that is written?" This is St. Luke. "The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." The thing that I just got through quoting to you, as to tell you what this is and why it's happening, I had no idea that it would open to that, but when I opened and read, that was what he gave me. So then we see that there are stars that's falling from heaven, and that which has been rejected, as to say it was a cult, or to call it many other things, even as they branded Brother Branham and the followers of cult and published it in the paper. I read it in the article that they wrote concerning him. See, so it is, one of the greatest men that ever lived, the blind people. The Bible said the blind leading the blind, and people who are educationally supposed to be brilliant, professing themselves to be wise, has become fools. And God has rejected all of them, and they've been turned over to reprobate mind, as to the god of this world, even Lucifer, the god of darkness, blinding their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good comes. And so when the good comes, they brand it as that occult or something else, and go on in their ignorance into the darkness until the dart strikes through the liver. For the Bible says this gospel be hid to them that are lost. It was hid to them that were lost. And he said only the elect received it. He said, and them that were preordained as foreordination unto justification and eternal life, he said, they believed. But the others did not believe, and God turned them away and were blinded, and they went away grumbling and mumbling and doing all the evil things they'd done until the dart struck through the liver. So then, something is happening even now. As I told about my vision of Israel this morning, I was ready to go into Israel for the seventh time. And I was there again in this vision prophesying is when I went there and actually prophesied at the streets of Dolorosa, saying the time was fulfilled. So then, now fixing to go there for the seventh time and also to our crusade in Nigeria, seeing that vision of something happening, the enemy no doubt coming in like a flood on Israel, that means the end of the world is here. And these things that are taking place as to the spiritual perspective in the Western world, as to the child not now being born, as to Calvary, the crucifixion, and all these things where they've come down upon us to try to kill out the true word of God, as to the babe that was born in that day and Herod, he never stopped. So in our day, you know, it's the Jim Jones thing, and they've tried to kill out the little works that's coming up, or to kill out this. You remember they hit us before they hit Jim Jones. Don't you remember that? Someone said, well, they just won all the peas that was in the pot. No, that wasn't it at all. This was the first thing I remember them hitting. They come here and they hit Bethlehem, and I said, they'll hit this. I said, then it'll go from here and hit all the other, and then it'll hit the sports and everything else. And I said, and we'll survive it and come out with beautiful colors. And it was said that even in the newspapers here, when they published those things in the newspapers, the people that read it said, we got more confidence in little Bethlehem than any ever before, because we know the scrutinizing of the snakes in the grass, as we say. And we know that if anything had been there, they'd found it. And I don't mean that against all newspapers or all people that publish newspapers. Some do publish some good things. I worked as a newspaper office, and we did publish some good things when I was there. But the thing is, a bunch of them just snakes in the grass. Jesus said, all flesh is grass, and the devil's in the grass, in the people. And they're lurking in the shadows to tear down, to smite the president, as to a communistic thing, or do something against our people, or something that's decent, or to bring out something in the background to tear down. That's the way they do. So they hit little Bethlehem, where the babe was born. As it was over in Jerusalem, they hit Bethlehem first. They hit Bethlehem, and the children were killed, and there were weeping and wailing. The Bible said, Rachel weeping for her children, and they were not. And we spoke of the thing that happened in Atlanta when the black man was killing so many of the little black children up there. You remember that? We spoke of it, wrote a song about it. Rachel weeping for her children, and the police couldn't stop them and couldn't catch them. And we went and prayed after a number of months, and many had been killed. We went and prayed and asked God to apprehend the man. And immediately he was apprehended and they caught him and the killing stopped. See, so it is, as we say, this hour when they have Jim Jones and everything and they've killed out and they've tried to smother out, and we survived it and come out with wonderful colors. And we've continued to grow and go all over the world, and in spite of all that they've done, they were not able to hurt. As the child fled, God took care of him, and then the child returned to take his regime, that is to acknowledge his suffering willingly through Calvary, not to have somebody to kill him and take his life as Satan. But he said, no man taketh my life from me, I give my life. And this commandment have I of my Father, that I lay down my life of my own self, and I have this, that I can take it up whenever I will, which he did after being in the grave for a certain period of time. So then, you've gone through the crisis, and you've gone through the shame, you've gone through the sorrow, where the Bible said that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that was set before him as being the great preeminence of heaven, he endured the cross. A lot of you have done the same thing. We've been reproached in every way, from people that are within, people that are without, people in the United States, people that are out in the foreign countries. We've been reproached in our own family. But the thing is, we've survived it. We've come out, and I saw the vision where people around were saying one to another, said, we've made a great mistake. Said, this thing out in Bethlehem, they put their finger on it, and they spoke against it, said, that is a good thing, and we've made a mistake, and we branded it wrong. And so it was. It turned out that way, and from everywhere they are doing that, and only the abase is saying things, and fools, as the Bible said, are saying things. Fool is known by the multitude of his word, and only a few babes here and there are getting caught in it that are good people that eventually come and apologize or come out of it. And so the base of sort, as Paul said, still is on the job to try to hinder Christ or to do something against you. But you're finding favor with even those in the upper echelon, as to the great, the mighty, all celebrities, whatever, are praising him. And as Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And these that are running around here on the home front or from place to place is like a little old weasel that don't know what they're doing. And while they're trying to say something here to turn somebody off to this, as the world would say, hundreds and thousands of people over in the foreign countries are just coming to it. And in printed page, on television, on the radio, wherever, and people are just calling, like the man from Nicaragua a few days ago saying, thank God through the eternal abundant life broadcast, I've been saved and come to God, and this I shall walk in forever. So then we find out that this thing is happening while these people that go like fools to their own slaughter, though you warn them, the fool shall go until the dart strikes through the liver. So you see, at this time, Brother Branham, like the followers coming in as to the redemption, as that vision of the Jews and the Jews coming in, the days of the Gentiles dust being over and the blood coming off of the seat of the atonement, it's ready now to come off and end this. That means that those that are in heaven will fall from heaven. Well, that is to say, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, these people in that Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, everybody is under the blood covering, just like Judas was. And that is said of a woman that's a good woman, she has a bad husband, or vice versa. The Bible said, and the unbelieving shall be sanctified by the believing. And as long as they're married together, they're one flesh, so God sanctifies the unbelieving until the death, and then it's severed, and she's no longer under the ties of her husband, or bound to him that is dead. And he that went into the grave that was sanctified by the believing wife goes to hell, because there's no sanctification for it. Because it was a sanctification as to the time that the blood is on the seat of atonement, and you're living in this world. So then we see by this, the Bible said God has to do that, or else your children would be unclean. And so he has done this to the churches, he's done this to the people. And now we're coming to the time that just before humanity sees corruption. Whereas the Bible said if God did not shorten the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be any flesh spared, because more and more are turning away, because iniquity is abounding as to the glitter of the dewdrops on the spider web. Everybody beginning to play with it and spring around on it, and they're beginning to enjoy it more and more as to the lust of the flesh and the gullible desires of the things of the world. Whereas the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there, and they're going after it big way, you know, big time. And they're getting caught in the spider web, and now the old spider is beginning to close in for the kill. And they find out when they try to get loose from it, they can't get loose, but like the fly, you know, the fun's over, and now they're bound, and they're fixing to be destroyed. Well, the Bible said they will be destroyed. Destruction awaits them. I will pursue the wicked until they perish from off of the face of the earth. But no bad thing shall happen to the upright. The evil one shall not touch you. Ye shall keep yourself, and the evil one touch you not, that ye should sin, that ye should do evil, or whatever. You are perfect in his sight. A church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. A church of joy and jubilance is praising God because you've got something to praise God for. Because you know you're not the bonds tower, you're elect. You've made your calling and election sure by practicing those things. And the Bible said to do those things, you can never fall, because you're God's elect and you cannot sin against God. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you, going around preaching whatever. Some of them are honest, they just don't know any better. And they're preaching that you do sin, you know, and Brother Pike don't know what he's talking about. But nevertheless, they don't know what they're talking about. You cannot sin as a Christian. Always remember that. That's your joy. When you know that you can't sin, that's what brings you joy. There is no joy to Pentecostal people or any other church movement that goes around thinking that they sin one day and slip back in another day. Do you think that Christ is going to marry a harlot? She goes out and she plays the harlot today and she comes back tomorrow and says, well, I made another misstep. I know I'm a harlot, but have mercy. And day after tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. But I know your grace is sufficient if I do it 1,000 times. He wouldn't even spit on her. Let's give the Lord a hand. But folks, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Daniel, Messiah shall come. He shall take away sin, make an end of sin. 483 years later, he came past the silent ages. He made an end of sin. And today, you are not in the flesh. You're chosen out of the flesh. You're not in the world. You're chosen out of the world. You're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things. Well, that is to say, your spirit on the inside of you is in the spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God within you. And that means the child has been caught up to the throne, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the throne. On the inside and sealed that the evil one cannot touch you, you keep yourself and he touch you not. He that is born of God cannot sin, for the seed of God, the seal, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is sealed in, or he is born of God. That is to say, he is the God body, he is God flesh, born of his bone and flesh of his flesh by predestination, and he cannot sin. So then I said that so that you will remember your joy. Let no man take your joy away from you or deceive you. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctify them once and for all with the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said, having justified by faith, having sanctified us by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, having glorified them, but he sanctified. How many feel sanctified? Let's love the Lord this morning. Let's praise the Lord. We're just here for a few minutes to hear his word. I'm going to stop in just a few minutes, but I thought I might take this for occasion to remind you that the catching up means the going out. What the going out is that the blood will be off the seat of atonement. That is to say, I reminded you when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin went up to the moon. Buzz had wanted to do something for God and didn't know what to do, and a little story stated he went down to his pastor, which was over in Texas, maybe a Presbyterian pastor. They had the Lord's Supper. Buzz took a piece of the bread and took a little chalice of the wine, put it together in something. They gave him opportunity to take a few things up to the moon. This is one of the things that he took. When he got up there, he called back, and you remember the call. He said, give me a few moments of silence. And when he took the few moments of silence, I found out that what he did, he unveiled the little unleavened bread and took the little chalice of wine and there honored the Lord with the landing on the moon. Ain't you glad God has his way in all things? The old carnal mind of the devil was going up there and take control of that. God didn't let Russia or anybody else go up there and sent Buzz Aldrin, and Buzz went up there. And this is supposed to be an authentic fact. It didn't just come from hearsays. I read it from something that is one of the preeminent magazines that they've just uncovered it. And God had his way. So then Icky Bob is rode over the doors, I say it, across the door. The glory of God has departed because the old glory as to the flag left and went up to the moon. And a new thing came in, as you say. You remember when our flag went to Reagan, he received it, acknowledged it, wrote us when I was up at the garden, not the Garden of Eden, but a place called Eden, that we had the five poles of the tenet. Well, anyway, we just take a long time. Many, many things are on tape. You can piece them together as you can. Try to condense things as much as I can. That is to say that catching up, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, as is what George Bush is about to do. He's going to put a launching pad, I understand, on the moon, and from there he's going to launch off to Mars. So to send some people to Mars. And though thou makest thy nest among the stars, the little nest that landed, they called it the nest, the moon among the stars, though you make your nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And as I say, we predicted that way back when my Dale was a little girl over in long in Selma, Alabama, long in there, that they would do it, and so they did it. Now, that means that the taking away of the blood off of the seat of atonement, the taking away, it means the days of the Gentiles is over as recorded in Revelation 8. And when the last seal was opened, then the Bible said this angel came forth, took the censer, put fire into the censer, mixed it with that sweet-smelling Ah, perfume that we bring out in type revelation is going back to the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness. And then he put the prayers of the saints in there, hurled it down into the earth, and there was lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes and all of these things. Brought it out about the lightning as to the bombs bursting, as to the thunders that John heard, the bomb busting, and as to the tremors in the earth, and when the Bible said that the hail and blood was mingled together as people blown to bits and blown up in airplanes, and these things raining hail and blood back down upon them. And when the Bible said, and many voices, he heard many voices, and we said this would be the screaming of the people as they're torn to pieces and blown apart. All these things is recorded in Revelation when the seals first start to be opened there. Where it is said, seal the 144,000, let the four angels hold back these four winds coming from the east, west, north, and south, and don't let them blow on anything until the servants of our God, that is to say the Jews, are sealed in the forehead, that is to say the fulfillment of the days of the Gentiles, and then the Jews coming back in with the Spirit of Christ coming to them, the seal being the name of Jesus. For the Holy Ghost, the seal, when he comes, he'll come in my name. And so then we see here that they're sealed to go through this tribulation period where the horrible thing takes place, that nothing should harm them. And Jesus, Revelation 14, coming back on the mountain there to receive Israel and the 144,000, which is the whole house of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, 12 tribes to a son, being saved as the deliverer comes out of Zion and turns ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Jacob is saved. So then we see that the Gentiles prior to this coming in of the last week of Daniel goes up. They're translated and they go out of this world. I know some says they'll go through the tribulation and God will keep them here, all these kind of things, but that's not right. They won't do that. Going through the tribulation, we have post-millennials, pre-millennials, they argue about these things, but nevertheless, coming up to the millennium, it is a true fact that the Jews will go through the tribulation, for the Bible teaches that God will make Jacob pass through the fire, and that the Bible said some shall be saved as if by fire. Their works being burned, which has been with Israel, not bringing any fruit to perfection. But as to the bride, I say again, God is not going to put his bride through a tribulation, and God is going to put you through a tribulation when you got the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. Some would dispute that and say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said over here where John was caught up into heaven, that these are they that come out of a great tribulation, which I know to be the church. John saw them in heaven, following the Lamb and drying all tears from their eyes. And then he looked in the earth and saw the 144,000 being sealed. And it was asked as, who are these in heaven? And John said, sir, thou knowest. And so then we checked it out. He said, these are they that follow the Lamb, that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that follow him whithersoever he goeth. No light shall light on them as to the sun. He'll be the light of that great city, as the Bible said. The Lamb is the light thereof, the light that's most precious. John saw it descending out of heaven as a light most precious as to the bride. And we see that in this, that was the church, and in the earth, that was the sealing of the 144,000, as to the beginning of the tribulation for the Jews to go through. And as I said, moving on over to the middle of the week, or that is coming to the 8th chapter, where the blood comes off the seat of atonement, thrown down on the earth as to the wrath of God, and then the Gentiles were gone. Revelation 4, doors open in heaven. Peter opened that door there at Calvary when Peter said, who do men say that I am? I give to you the keys. He recognized the Christ through the church ages. At the end of it, Paul in the midst of the candlesticks, well, that is to say Jesus. Paul saying, not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me, establishing the 9 churches. The Lord taking 7 of them to show the church ages, and there Jesus in the midst of them to show that Paul had come from what he was, and now it's not I that liveth, but Christ. As to being caught up into heaven, or that, as I said the other night, to refer back to Bethel. Jacob Sam going back to Bethel as he went down to get his wife, went there, and he stopped at this place, got a stone, anointed the stone, and then he saw the angels descending, coming from heaven as the door opened in heaven, and as to the steps, as to say the church ages, up into the midst of the 7 candlesticks, which is around the throne. I'm speaking here, putting a number of things together, but you saints know what I'm saying. So then, going back to Bethel, Jacob said, this must be the very house of God, or the door to heaven. So then we see Calvary as the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Peter opened the door with the keys. And down through the church ages it went. At the end of the church ages, here we find the voice of John, come up hither. And we find John going up into heaven. And there he saw the seals. He heard the thunders. And saw these wonderful things taking place. Well, I said all that just to say this before we have to close. See, we have through a transitional change of times, everything that's in heaven must be shown in a type on the earth. As in heaven, so in earth. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So then we come down to this place. We find that we're right here at the end. And I refer back to Jimmy Carter, J.C., Mr. Bush, what he's doing, what he has to do with, and not going into those things because you've got them on tape and in detail to show what each one of them represented. And putting them together to show you exactly where we're standing at this time of life. That the time, as to the time element involved at this time of life, how far down this thing has come from the time God started through his foreknowledge and where it's at now, as to an ultimatum of the finishing of the mind of God and humanity, as to the revealing of the mysteries, to bring an end. Right at the end time, and is the gospel being published in all the world? For a witness, as we say, on satellites or wherever. The stone that was rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Like the song we wrote, give him his place and he'll make everything right. The cornerstone, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Christ, the revelation that came through Paul to the day that he was living in as to the Gentile overseer reaching even unto Brother Pike. And today now the church is coming into it and the light most precious is beginning to shine. And now they're being drawn out as to the inner man, God coming like a thief in the night to take them out. That is in the intellectual night, taking them out into the heavenlies and choosing them out of the body and out of the flesh, taking them in and sealing them. That the church is gone, the light most precious, and intellectual darkness is the ball games and worldly frolic, education and constraint by men of great ability as dignitaries of the world taking over as Satan, Lucifer within them. That they may rule, gross darkness covered the people, and the wicked not seeing when good comes, the blinding of their eyes of understanding. So then the church being sealed and being taken out, now it's been revealed to them that they have been sealed even in foreknowledge before the world ever was. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was in the foreknowledge of God as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and then brought to light at Calvary as to the rent veil as to the opening of the curtain on the great drama and then preached or revealed to us as the unveiled down through the church ages as a seven-dimensional projecting, raising us up into the heavenlies to find ourselves there as to the midst of the candlesticks and John caught up into heaven. So then John said, the revelation of Jesus Christ said, the time is at hand. Paul said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, I caught up into heaven, saw things that human beings is not permitted for them to utter. So then is out of time, one born out of season. Here we are in the latter time. Then as Peter said, ye the people, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And I said this to you, that from Calvary it was the end of the world. And it's a heavenly episode all the way to the Gentiles as to the church caught up into heaven. Over to the coming in of the last week of Daniel, that is to say, the last 7 years, and the earthly perspective comes back in for the Jews to bring in the millennium as to the restoration and setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we returning from heaven as on white horses, and we that are alive, this body suddenly be changed, and that which is buried is to dead, reckon yourself to be dead, buried in the water of grave. The dead in Christ rising first is buried in the ground, coming out. We which are alive and remain at the coming, the sound of the last trumping, the finish of the mysteries, all of a sudden we're changed into his likeness and caught up with them to be with Christ, so shall we be with the Lord. Comfort the saints, he said, by these sayings. So then we see the South Thessalonian change as the catching away that the bride will be caught away before the tribulation period sets in. She will be caught away. And that the Jews will be sealed to go through the tribulation period. And we see that shortly after this tribulation, which represents the wrath of God and in the days of Noah, and the Jews represent the ark of everything being in them as the body of Christ as to the constraint. That is to say that the raven as to Satan being boxed up in that body, being blinded in part as it was with Jesus, being made sin. God trapped him in the body there as though no good thing in our body. Not in Jesus, but he was made our sin. So then the dove also is the Holy Ghost coming down on him as to the watery baptism, and then being in there, and that through the tribulation period the Jews will receive the Holy Ghost as to the seal coming to them, and this ark will ride through the great tribulation of God as to the wrath of God being sealed on the inside and outside, as it is said, do nothing until I have sealed the servants of my God in their foreigns. So then it rises to Mount Zion. As to Mount Ararat, it rises up to the mount after the great deluge of the locusts and all these things. And then all nations come to the Jews as they that rule and reign through the tribulation. In that going up on Mount Zion, they receive their head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they come back as a nation, in that they have not really been a nation since they lost their head. Nothing but troubled waters. But when he comes back, he'll sit on the throne of David, fulfill the prophecy, and reign forever and forever as through the 1,000 years to be changed into the celestial, where you and I will, of course, come forth as to our regime. We'll be reigning also through the 1,000 years. And many of you understand this. We've preached it before in different places and segments, but I'm just trying to throw a few things together to prove a point here. So then through the tribulation, we'll ride over as the ark of Noah. The end of the world came at Calvary. You that are children of God, you are in heaven. You've been chosen out of the flesh. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Noah said, the end of the world back here. And so now then I am again this time telling you the end of the world is here, and you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. John said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand. So then wherever it comes, the revelation, that means that it's the unveiled. And when it's the unveiled, that always means Calvary. So the folding up of the oldest of the body, the laying away, or that is to say that you've recognized the veil rent in twain, your spirit back to God who gave it, what has taken place through the church ages. And now we're coming to the point where your body buried in the watery grave will be lifted up and be changed in the likeness of the Son of God. That is to say, Christ is come in the flesh, and if any man deny that, he's an antichrist. Alright, so then we see that the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Here he's standing on Mount Zion. Everything that the Jews rejected, standing there, and here they come up to it, as to where the tomb of David is. Some of you have seen that. So you see that we're at the end of the world. I'd love to have more time to detail it, but even the little things that we do, because we are a little fella. Big fellas do big things, little fellas do little things. But whatever we're doing, it's not unnoticed. The Bible said, despise not the day of little things. And the Bible said at that time a little stone was hewed out of the mountain. A little stone. It came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world, and it grew till it filled all the earth. So then the message is enlarging more and more because it's out of the veil. Brother Branham came, though as there in the veil, he was smitten. He died to esteem him smitten of God. People would love to say, God killed Brother Branham. Some women said God killed him because he preached against women preachers. That shows you. That's the mouth of a fool. Let's give the Lord a hand. That shows you. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. That really shows ignorance. But nevertheless, Brother Branham, we spoke of his death before it happened. It was not confounding to us. It came to pass. And God revealed to us just exactly the vision he saw of him and Joseph, and revealed to us why he was killed in the manner he was. So the great, wonderful man of God came, done his thing, even as it was with Jesus when they gloated over the scribes and the Pharisees, gloated over the fact that he was dead, but he did it of his own self. He gave himself to God. And so then now it's out of the veil, as it was when it ripped Brother Branham's head open there, as to the physicians. It's out of the veil now, and it is the great revelation of Jesus Christ. As in the end time, as Moses to the Jordan, and then the death, as to the smiting of the head, as to the broken glass that went in, as to the crucifixion and the thorns, and as to those things that happened, countenance marred more than any man, as to the typical thing there. Arm broken, wrapped around the steering wheel, all kind of things. And of course, God spared his wife, Midian, and the daughter. We said God will spare them from the wreck. They will not die, Brother Brennan. We'll die. Just before Christmas Day, he did die, and I said, and they will come out of the desert. They'll leave the desert. Billy Paul living out there, Brother Branham living out there. They'll return back to Jeff. They did. Brought the spoken word back out of there and went on with the thing, and it's been there since. Likewise, many other things we spoke of as to a prophetical utterance of that which God giveth as the Spirit of truth, that it came to pass. So we see that these things have happened. And here we are as to touching base now with them as to the knitting together of the body again. Many things that we spoke of on tape as to the body being buried in the cornerstone where it hid that thing and what had happened. You know those things, but right now, we're right at that point. Whereas when David Paul went into the graveyard there and the eagle was gone, had a dove in his hand, I said, set it right up on top of his tombstone right there. I said, the prophetical utterance was even of him that in the end time the dove would lead the eagle. Well, that is to say, the way the Lord revealed it to me, that America, an eagle nation, Brother Branham, a prophet, as among the nation as it was with the natural Jews, and that is to say the natural church, prophetically speaking, making his prophets like unto eagles, and then the dove ages of the millennium coming in, when nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. As to the spirit, which is the unveiled, the revelating of not warring against the flesh, but surpassing the flesh, and is in the days of Solomon building the house of God, the temple of God, and God's temple, or God's train filling the temple, as in the days of David, as Brother Branham, a war. And then after that, the fall of the Babylon thing as to the tribulation period. So we see everything is falling in place as to 100%. So beautiful it is to you that have understanding. For the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. For ye are they that dwell in heaven, and like the vision I had where I saw those things happening up in heaven. If you're dwelling in heaven, then you're not blinded as to the veil. The veil is taken away in Christ. No more that of the Old Testament as to the law of sin and death, as to darkness and shame, but as to the light, having been caught up in the light in Jesus Christ alone, that is to say, you as a membership of the body, dwelling in that light, having immortality. No man has seen God, nor can see him, nor approach unto it, because he is a spirit. So we see then this little thing about the satellite hath great significance. And when they set it at $12, as to say the 12 apostolic leaders following the great leaders to the headship, to show that it is the disciples, for everything is not without significance. All of it has great significance and must be done perfectly in line as to the great wonderful mind, is the unveiling of Christ to make known what God is doing in the earth through the saints of God. All right, let's stand together. I'd like to say a lot of things. I'm just trying to work with you where the Bible said, David said, let their table be made a snare unto them. I try to work with you so as their table not being a snare to you, that you might be caught up in the wonderful loving arms of Jesus, and that you might believe and know and be thoroughly furnished, that when you do go out to the cafes or whatever, the ill winds of doctrines blow, you're established on the rock, not on the sifting sands of theology. You know, these are sifting sands of theology. You know, they prove today there's a modern waterworks on the moon. They prove tomorrow they made a mistake. They prove one thing and then they prove it wrong. That's shifting. Your education, your ideas, you people that got a high school education a few years ago, you're like somebody that's in maybe the third or fourth grade to your children now. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, always going from one thing to another and can't prove nothing. A bottomless pit of ever learning and a bottomless pit to where you find no foundation. But the Bible said, Abraham, the father of the faithful, sought for a city, that city having foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And Paul said, I'm the wise master builder, it's not me living, but God. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Gentile church coming in. Some of you don't see, some of you don't understand it. I know that you won't understand. If you did understand, then you'd be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God and have eternal life. But you that do understand, you are of the heavenly city and the children of the heavenly way. You other are just religious proselytes that will always make way for your programs and budgets and your little thing to keep your name and to do whatever. So people will say, he's a man that handles his affairs good. You know, the first thing that I learned when I went out for God was that I was a man that couldn't handle my affairs. Let's give the Lord a hand. I was head over heels in debt. My name was mud, as they say. And I couldn't do anything. And I just went out with an old broken down jalopy and a maypop tie, and like the Bible said, the drunkards and the harlots got in before the church people did. And the stone that was rejected became the head of the corner. The Bible said the workings of the Lord, marvelous in our eyes. Somebody said, well, bless God, this is you and not Christ. But Paul said, it's me
Christ living and not me, so it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You made a mistake, for the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. He shall not be the minister speaking, but shall be God speaking from within him. And the Bible said he's within his temple, and let you keep silent and all the world with you while he tells the saints who they are. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, somebody say hallelujah. Seems like you can't win for losing and we can't lose for winning. Let's give him another hand. All right. Thank the Lord for his wonderful blessings. We thank the Lord for you, for the good that's been done. And trust that you'll keep walking in the light as he is in the light. And one of the ways that we can tell that we're in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. We won't break ranks and pierce each other through and be gossiping and backbiting, seeing things, and won't be like a reflector and a chameleon that turns every color with whatever we're with. But we'll shake ourselves and get into the wonderful atmosphere of God and the things of God and kill that old devil of accusation and evil that's causing problems, gossiping and that old wandering star thing, and become a saint of God. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Trust that you feel all right this morning, that everything's well with you. I didn't mean to keep even that long after having quite a bit of activity before. Back to the cross, back to the altar, back to the same old songs that says, there's room at the cross for you. Let's sing it together. So there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Can you sing that with me? At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart roll away. The altars are open if you'd like to come. By faith I received my son. How I am happy all day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my son. Now I am happy all the day. Let's sing that little song, Come Into My Heart. Come into my home. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. for he has come back to your heart once again. Just let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and oh, turn him away. Let's sing another little chorus together. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. Examine yourselves. See if you be in the faith. See if God is in you, lest you become a reprobate. Realize that the end of the world is here. The end of time is here. The foreknowledge of God as to the mind of Christ in its completeness and now being revealed. The mysteries being finished. And you that are saints of God are hearing. And because you hear, you are understanding. Someone would say, you said be baptized in Jesus' name, Brother Pike. I understood and I was baptized. And that's great. Because that has to be a revelation. Because why is it that so many hear that and they are baptized in the titles, as they say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Proving the veil is still over their faces, to the Trinitarian veil of the Old Testament. And they do not understand that Jesus Christ has now become God, made manifest into the flesh. To wit, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And the Bible said, when as they knew Christ Jesus, not as God, when he came forth, was made flesh, that it pleased God to save them by the foolishness of preaching. So when you say you understand, it means you're getting revelation. And the righteous gets revelation. That means they understand. For understanding means the revealed word. To hear the word, to know the word, to quote the word, that's not sufficient. That's good. But like Brother Curly Owings, a good friend of ours, Sister Roberta, his wife, California, they go to Israel pretty often, wrote us a few days back. As he quotes the Bible, as the walking Bible, they call him the walking Bible. It is marvelous. It is so beautiful. But the thing is, as we said, that's not sufficient. See, we are not of the first man Adam. The intellectuals, as to churchism, as to formalities, as to denominationalism, these people know the Word of God, not as Curly, but they know the Word of God. You know, that is not to know it, is to quote it. But Curly, the old sparring partner of Jack Dempsey, a powerful man of Scripture, never heard anything like it when it comes to the natural. But see, that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. We've got to have the revelated word, the understanding. Do you understand, as Philip said when he went over to the eunuch, the queen's eunuch, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I? I don't have anybody to teach me. Somebody said, well, you don't need anybody to teach you, but obviously he needed somebody to teach him. He needed somebody to teach him. He had it to read. Understandest thou what thou readest? He could have said, no, Philip, you're the man with understanding. I'm the man with the word. I read the word. I hear it. I have it on my intellectual brain. But to understand that you're the man of the Spirit, you have it in Revelation. He said, no, I don't understand. Anyway, when it was expounded to him, he was baptized. He understood. And the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ went into the kingdom. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale. Remember from Calvary, all but to the last week of Daniel, you saints are in heaven. You're forever in heaven. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. You're not in the earth. Therefore, you cannot sin because you're not in the flesh. And sin is of the flesh, sinful flesh. Jesus made an end of it by giving his body, being made our sin in the earth that we might be made his righteousness in heaven. in glory. So then sin is gone. The writer said, my sins are gone. Can we sing this? There underneath the blood on the cross, Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Can you sing that with me? There underneath the blood on the cross. How do you believe that they're actually underneath the blood? How is it that you still sin, beloved friend? If they're underneath the blood, have you been under there digging them out? Praise God, my sins are gone. There in the blood, cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. One more time. For there underneath the blood was Calvary, are removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God. Can you sing it one more time? If you really believe they're gone now stop just a minute now. If you really believe they're gone, listen to me now. Somebody said, well, I just can't have it. I sin a little every day, Brother Pike. Well, then they're not gone. Wouldn't you agree that they're not gone? If they're still around, they're not gone. But now if they're gone, they're not around. If they're gone, where did they go? Come on now. If they're gone, that means they're not with you. They're gone. If I'm gone, I'm not with you, folks. Isn't that right? Now you're saying they're gone. Messiah came and made an end of sin. You're sealed on the inside. The evil one toucheth you not. How can you sin when he touch you not? The Bible said you keep yourself by the faith of Jesus Christ. You're a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You're not from one revival to another. This is not the kind of Christian we have in Bethlehem. You know, you come up and you backslide, and you come up and you backslide. You don't go from one revival to another, one preacher to another. You're God's children. You're God's precious daughters and sons. You're God's darlings in God. You're perfect. You're spotless. You're without blemish. You're beautiful. You outshine the noonday sun. So that is just as soon as they're unveiled. All right. So when we sing this, remember, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. How many of you believe that you're saved by faith? How many believe that faith cometh by the hearing of the word? How many of you believe it's the word that said Messiah will make an end of sin 483 years after it was said? How have you believed in what the word said, that he made an end of sin? That's faith. You're saved by that. You believe he made an end of your sins. Your sins are gone. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's believe that and everything will be all right, folks. All right, let's sing together. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as for removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Do you believe it? Don't you feel that? There underneath that blood on the cross. Remember now, this is what brings your joy. You're walking without condemnation. Well, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And you're dead to the flesh. You can never go back into the flesh. This is what brings you joy. Underneath the blood, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus. Not you living, but Christ. God giving him everything, because you're born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So then if your sins are gone, you're free from sin. That's what brings joy, everlasting joy. Underneath the blood, Remember now, this brings you everlasting joy. The Bible said an everlasting joy shall be upon their head. When you have eternal life and you know there's no condemnation to you, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing that he stumbleth into, that he alloweth. Not of his heart, mistake of his head. Everlasting joy.
For there underneath the blood
on the cross of Calvary,
as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone.
Sing it in. Let's give him a wave offering underneath that blood. You feel like they're gone now? Leave them alone now, folks. Don't mess with them. They're gone. That's good enough for me. They're gone. They're underneath the blood. Can you believe that you don't have any sin anymore? Come on, folks. Can you believe that you're going to have a feeling like you never felt in your life? When you say, oh my God, down inside, whoo, I believe that, oh my God, and the Holy Ghost is going to come into you. You're going to feel something come down on the inside of you. The Bible said while Peter preached to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you right now. You're going to open up on the inside of your heart, and you're going to feel the freedom. You're going to feel the yoke broken. The anointing breaks the yoke, and you're going to feel that, ooh, I feel it already. Glory to God.
For there underneath that blood, hallelujah, I removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God, get from it, good enough for me, praise God. There's no sin in my home, for there underneath.
Said Moses was faithful in all of his house.
As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God.
Messiah made an end of sin. No more sin. Can anybody find any sin? Where's the sin at little Bethlehem? Not in the saints. Not in the saints. Where is the sin? Somebody said, well, I think it's still around. I'm not talking to you. You dwell in the earth. It's all around you. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. I'm talking about them that are in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Ye that dwell in heaven. Can you say praise the Lord? There's no sin where you dwell. These things will fall all around you and won't come nigh your dwelling. For ye are they that dwell in heaven. It can't get nigh your dwelling. Because darkness cannot intermingle or fellowship light. And you're children of light. And the light most precious that's emanating from you that goes out is your glorification. The light penetrating as it did through Stephen's face. As to there as it was with Jesus. So then you are the children of the resurrection. Children of light. Having passed from death into life. Somebody had a dream the other night that we were going to preach the resurrection. Or we were preaching the resurrection, which we are preaching. I said, that's strange. I just told the boys that left from jail. Up there, some of them have been preaching dead, dead, dead. Brother Brown's dead. I said, when we get up there, we're going to preach the resurrection. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. How do you feel real good? How are you going to take this under the tent up at jail like you did out here at this camp meeting? I tell you, you had a joy under that tent that broke the yoke, brought a miracle. And things took place, and I'm looking for that same joy at jail. Somebody said, I can't. The Bible said, I can through Christ that strengthened me. All things, I can do whatever I want to. I'm a saint of God. Hallelujah. Who said you couldn't? That was a lying vanity. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's lift our hands up together. Let's worship the Lord. This is why Brother Taylor has such joy. He believes in what this preacher preaches. And he goes around happy because of it. We're glad to have you this morning. We appreciate our business so very, very much. You mean a lot to us, and we're so thankful that you would come to be with us. And our children in God, our sons and daughters here, I appreciate you. We love you from the bottom of our heart with all purity and all godliness. trying our best to pray for you day and night. Paul said, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you day and night in my prayers, that God will give you a prosperous journey in all of your life to do the things that you're supposed to do for God, that you might be about your Father's business in doing these things in the sense that you are the children of the resurrection. Not children of darkness, but of understanding, which means light, the light that's most precious, even the knowledge of God, the treasure, heavenly treasure, Paul said, being caught up to the third heaven that's been made known to you, this treasure that you have now in these earthen vessels, even heavenly treasure. Well, with your eyes closed, your hands lifted up, Jesus here with us, you know He's with us. You know He's in you. You know you belong to Him. Hallelujah. I can feel Him at home in His temple. I can feel Him at home. I say, I love you, Jesus. And He just moves around in there. There's one thing about it. The one that's carrying that little child, Paul said, till Christ be formed within you, you can tell He's there. You can tell He's there. Hallelujah. He is there. The little one leaped for joy when the salutation came that a Savior is born. The little one leaped for joy when the salutation comes. When you hear the salutation, if you're the ones as to that of the Christ child, He'll leap for joy. For God will quicken your mortal body by this Christ, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. And He'll leap for joy. You can get to singing and shouting and praising the Lord. And on the inside, that inner you is the Christ child on the inner side. He'll just leap for joy. The Bible said Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He'll just leap for joy. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. What a beautiful thought. I am thinking, as the man said. Speaking of the Bible, he said it's concerning the great speckled bird. Spreading her wings for a journey. No other bird, he said, this journey would undertake. Said, but she's spreading her wings for a journey. And he said, lo, they try to find fault with her teaching. For they desire to find fault with her teachings. But said, really? Really? They find no mistakes. There's no mistakes. There's no mistakes. Okay, children of God, you know then there's no mistakes. So then you have your faith is bet upon the rock of one promise. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Love and glorification and blessing in all things that pertain unto life forever. Eternal securities. While the others educationally build themselves humanly in research of human matters as founding themselves and building their house upon the sands, the shifting sands of theology, that when the wind and the rains come and the wrath of God is going to crumble. But your house, Peter said, as long as I'm in this house, that is to say your body, this tabernacle, is founded on the solid rock. No matter what the shifting sands of theology may say, you can come back and say, brother, look at the word. Brother, look at the word. The brother that called from the Carolinas, he said the other night, a man challenged me, Brother Pike, on the revelation and on the word. Said he stood up and challenged me. Said when he challenged me, I went back to the Word of God that he'd been taught, that he knew. Said he told the man the Word of God, right? Said, you take the Word of God, sir, and you read it. And made the man read it before the people. And the man changed over as to his opinion, apparently stayed through the whole revival. And said all the rest of the people that was of a different sect of religion, they heard that and it confounded so that they began to come to the altar. And the Lord defeated him right there with his Satan's own tool. So then you've got the word. You've got the word. Stay with the word. Faith by the hearing of the word.